Welcome to the Bedford First Assembly Podcast. We hope you enjoy this message by Pastor Bill McKee. We're always encouraged to know what God is doing through this ministry to transform lives. If you have a story to share of how God is working in your life, please let us know by sending an email to connect@bedfordfirstag.org. For more information about Bedford First Assembly and to watch the live stream of our services, visit www.bedfordfirstag.org.
The flag, and I apologize, it was still back in the gym. It hadn't made its way in here, so the ushers helped us and Linda helped us to get our flag back in. My allegiance to the flag, it's been kind of a journey, part of the journey of my life, and I share with you just briefly. Of course, when I was in school, I don't know if they still do it or not, but every single morning we said a pledge allegiance to the flag. So that began. But then when I was in the sixth grade, I was appointed, if you will, to be the one, along with another fella and I, every single day to get up and get to the school early and right at the very beginning of the day to bring the flag out of the principal's office and to raise the flag. And then at the end of the day to bring it down, and he and I folded the flag. So as a sixth grader, I learned how to properly fold the flag so that it all fit nice and tight. And then when I went into boot camp, I didn't ask for this, but I was part of the drill team. And as the first platoon leader, every single morning, I would get up and take four men and march them at cadence out to the center of the base, and we raised the flag and stood there and hand salute while the flag was being raised. And then at the end of the day, we marched back out there and took it down, folded it, and protected the flag into its safe place each night. Then being in the Navy, you don't go onto a naval ship except that you come to the top of the brow and you turn to the fantail of the ship and hand salute the flag at attention before you proceed onto the ship. Everybody does that, from the lowliest to the greatest. And so all of those things gave me an incredible appreciation. And of course, they told us in boot camp, if that flag touched the ground, it had to be burnt, and that we would be in a heap of trouble. And so there was kind of an awe, if you will, that came to the flag. It is still very difficult for me to see, as individuals are exercising their freedom here in this country, where they take a torch and burn that flag. I guess, you know, the appreciation that I have goes along with the fact that it represents all who have served, all who have given their lives, so that you and I could be sitting here this morning. There are a number of scenarios throughout our history that things could have been different, significantly different. So we're very, very thankful this morning for those who have given and sacrificed so that they could, so that we could be here today. Amen? When I was about 5 years old, that's been a day or two ago, on a Wednesday night, sitting with my parents in the service, because that's what we used to do, Pastor preached a message. I was back here over on this side, Pete, where we used to sit, Mom and Dad used to sit about where you're sitting there in our sanctuary that seated about 2,000 people. And Spirit of the Lord made it all the way back there. Moved upon my heart, and I got up at the end of the service and walked down to an altar and gave my life to Jesus. Still glad. I became a citizen of another kingdom. I have great appreciation for the United States. And by the way, those of you that are listening from around the world, I do not say our country above yours. I'm sure that you have allegiance to yours as well, and particularly if you have served. But I appreciate our country. I love our flag. But when I gave my heart to the Lord Jesus Christ, I came to the realization very quickly that I was a citizen of another kingdom. During this particular age, I have dual citizenship. I am a citizen of the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, and also of this United States. And in the same way that I am incredibly proud to have served my country in the United States Navy, I am incredibly proud that I serve the Lord Jesus Christ as my Savior, my Lord, and I'm in His army. Unlike the United States, which is a republic, the kingdom of heaven is what is called a theocracy. There's only one ruler, and that is our God. Many have tried to step in and take from Him some of that leadership, some of the importance of that leadership. But I can tell you this morning, it is today as it was in the beginning. There is only one King, and that is Jesus. You know, daily I rise and read the Constitution and bylaws of the kingdom of which I am a citizen. And I am proud and count it a grand privilege to bow every morning and begin every single day talking to the King about what's going to take place during the day. I have to say to you this morning, and I do not say this in judgment, just in amazement, at those who proclaim that they are part of the kingdom of heaven, who do not pay allegiance to the Constitution and bylaws of the kingdom and of the King. To think that as a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, that we do not need to give the same allegiances that we give to our country, it's wrong. We need to stand up for the kingdom of heaven. Now, I don't care how you think about this. You can like me, you don't like me, but I kind of messed with Lee Greenwood's words a little bit. To go like this, and I'm proud to be a Christian, where at least I know I'm free. I won't forget the man who died to give that life to me. And I'd gladly stand up next to you and defend him still today, because there ain't no doubt I love this man. God bless, are you ready for this? KOH, the kingdom of heaven. Amen? You see, what I'm trying to instill, what I'm trying to say to you this morning is the same, and I appreciate the fact that you stood in that song to show your allegiance to that flag, to our precious country. But you see, we're living in a day where we need kingdom citizens to stand up. It's time now. It's time now to be stand up citizens of this country and of the kingdom of God. I don't care where I'm at in the world. If someone asks me where I'm from, I'm going to tell them I am from the United States of America, because I'm not ashamed. And I need, and you need, if you're part of the kingdom of God, to have that same pride, that same willingness, that whatever it means, if somebody doesn't like me, that's fine. If somebody wants to boo me, that's fine. But I will tell them I have been redeemed by the blood of the Lamb of God. I am a citizen of heaven, and I am proud of that. Hallelujah. You can think about it. Some of you just sort of sitting there. This message this morning, Jesus gives us five parables. We're not going to spend a long time on each one of them, but I want to spend a moment or two on each one of them. Five parables, all under the heading of the kingdom of heaven is like. That says to me that the king wanted us to know what the kingdom was like. Amen? So these should be part of our knowledge and of our awareness. I'm very thankful that I had history classes, and as I've told you a number of times now, you know, the last couple of years, I've been on a track looking at the wars, particularly World War II, both Pacific and European theaters, and also the Vietnam War, the Korean War, because these are important. But for whatever reason, I have been into this historically, about 27, 28 books in right now, over the last year and a half. I think it's important for us. I've learned so much in reading about how these wars were fought and won. We need to know about the kingdom of God in the same way. We need to know about the kingdom of God in the same way. We need to know about the kingdom of God in the same way. Forgive me, but there's too many ignorant Christians. I'm amazed when I hear the statistics of how many people vote and how many people don't vote. Because many people, most people, have an opinion. And they readily will give you their opinion, sometimes whether you want it or not, about what should be and shouldn't be here in this country. May I say there are many more people who are willing to give you their opinion about how the country should be run than vote. We have this incredible privilege that we get to vote in the people that serve us in government. We have this incredible privilege that we can learn about the kingdom of God and share it with other people by chance that they might catch the flame and become part of the kingdom of heaven. You say, well, you know, I don't think about these things too much. You know, I'm moving along through my life. I've got a lot of things moving along. I guarantee you when you walk through the valley of the shadow of death, you will pay attention to the kingdom of heaven. And you'll want to know all about how it works. Why not prepare today? Because see, being part of the kingdom of heaven is not just about fire escape. Hello? You may have noticed, you may not have noticed, but at each one of these doors, see, there's an exit sign. And inside those exit signs, there's a light bulb. And that light bulb depends upon electricity. And they come around, we have to pay a company over $1,000 every year to come in here and inspect all of those to guarantee that all of those are lit because those are the exit points out of this sanctuary. You probably don't really think about it at all. But you do if there's a fire. Right? Then fire escape becomes very, very important. Let me tell you something, folks. We don't have any assurance whatsoever of what tomorrow may hold. We need to know where the exit's at. And we need to know the kingdom that we are part of and that we are serving. Jesus says it like this, and Brother Bill read to us, but I'll read it again just in case you weren't listening at that point. In verse number 31 of chapter 13 of Matthew, Matthew 13:31, he told them a parable. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. Though it is the smallest of all seeds, yet when it grows, it is the largest garden plants and becomes a tree, so that the birds come and perch in its branches. The kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed. As with seeds, in order for them to function properly, seeds have to be planted. Same way with the seed of the kingdom of God. It has to be planted into the lives. Now, a couple of weeks ago, we talked about the parable of the sower, and he was encouraging those who would take a handful of the seed of the kingdom and sow it into the world. People will not know that there is a kingdom of heaven if somebody doesn't tell them. Unless you are willing to take a handful of seed and sow it into someone's life, they may never know. One of the best ways that you can assure that you will grow spiritually is if you become a sower of seed. Well, I don't know what to tell them. Well, guess what? Every single service in this house, we will take you to the Word of God and give you a handful of seed. If you will just take what is sown into your heart and life and share it with one other person, you can produce the hope of the kingdom of heaven into their lives. It's no mystery. Just tell them what you are hearing and learning. And by the way, that will change the way you receive the word. Because if you sit in this house and you sit here with the anticipation and the expectation that you are going to need to sow this seed, your ears will perk up, your heart will perk up and say, I need to listen so that I can share it with someone else. Too many of us do not realize that we have that shallow soil that Jesus talked about. We hear the word, but we don't implant it into our lives. We let the cares of this life, we let everything under the sun keep it from being planted in us. Even right here in this house, we will allow every distraction to take us off when we need to be keepers of the seed and being ready to sow it into someone else's life. Again, the kingdom of heaven is like a mustard seed which a man took and planted in his field. What's the field? It is the field of your influence. You have a field of influence that I will never touch. People in your life that will never in their lifetime ever hear me or Pastor Steve preach a sermon unless you take the seed and sow it into their lives. I can't help but believe, church, that we have a responsibility. In the same way that we have a responsibility as individuals that live under the freedom of this flag, we have a responsibility to uphold it. We have a responsibility to engage in things in our country. I believe in the same way that as kingdom people, we have a responsibility to get a hold of the seed and to grab hold of it and be willing to share it with other people. Amen, Pastor. From the smallest to the largest. He says, you let this seed get sown, this seed of the kingdom of heaven. If you will allow it to get into the soil of your heart, it will produce a tree full of stuff that others can come and light upon. You will be sustained. You will go from being dependent to being a support system. Praise God. Do you realize, kingdom folks, what God is wanting to do with our lives? It is not that He just wants us to show up to church on a Sunday morning or a Wednesday night. He wants us to grow into a massive tree of knowledge and of faith and of power so that the world can know where they can find hope. Scripture says, be ready always to give reason of the hope that is within you. Honest to goodness, I believe so many of us, we just want to snuggle up to the warmth of the kingdom. we're not really wanting the kingdom in our lives. Because see, if the kingdom seed is actually planted inside of us, it is going to produce. That's what Jesus said. He said when the seed gets into good soil, he says it will produce 30, 60, 100 times what was planted. So you may say, oh yes, I'm a Christian, I'm part of the kingdom of God, yes, I'm going to heaven. But folk, honestly, if we're not producing, if there's not some fruit coming out of our lives, the fruit of righteousness, yes, but also the fruit of sowing this gospel message to other people, something's wrong. Because Jesus himself said the kingdom of heaven is like a man who puts a seed into the ground, and when that seed is put into the ground, it produces. And it produces more than what was planted. So see, that says to me that when the seed of the Word of God, the truth of the kingdom of God, is planted into your heart and my heart, that God is anticipating that something bigger than just that seed is going to come forth. So how can I do that? Well, number one, you live it out. That whatever seed is planted inside of us, that we begin to live it out. Not just being hearers of the Word, but doers of the Word. And that we would also value the seed to the point that we would defend the seed. That is, take it out into a world, an unrighteous world, and hold it up as a standard, as a light, as a beacon, if you will, to those who are walking in darkness. They say, oh, I don't know what I'm going to do. The politics, the politicians are all just going crazy. I don't know what we're going to do. It's going to be horrible. And all the climate change and all of these things, it's just, oh, it's going to all go away. Hold on. Hold on. Hold on. I've read the end. I've read about the end. I know what the Word of God says. I know that He still has plans. He's got a 1,000-year reign yet to take place here on this earth. That's His word. I'll trust the King of my kingdom before I will trust any scientist. Come on, church. We've got to decide, do I really believe this stuff, or am I just entertaining myself with some fellowship and some other things? If you really believe it, plant it into your life, and may it start producing a tree of righteousness and power before the world. People are needing desperately to see the kingdom of heaven alive inside of us. Desperate to see it. When we're walking around, whoa, oh, it's horrible. People say, well, why do I want to be part of your kingdom? Why do I want to be part of this kingdom of God that you're part of? Oh no, He wants us to walk with our heads held high saying, listen to me, this journey is a journey of faith, it's a journey of power, it's a journey of glory, it's a journey walking with God. Let me tell you about what I heard last Sunday. Let me tell you about what I'm listening to on Wednesday night as we're studying the Word. Listen, let me give you a guarantee. If you actually start sowing what you're hearing, you will run into this place wanting more, because you will begin to see the effect of the seed. And as a sower, it gets exciting when you sow some seed and you realize, I have no power over the seed. It's just like a seed for planting in my garden. I put that thing in there and I can put water on it, but I just have to depend on the stuff that God puts in for that thing to grow and produce. It's the same thing. I sow seeds of the Word of God into lives, and He takes it from there. I'm praying over those seeds that the power of the Holy Spirit would water those seeds and that it would produce fruit after its kind. A tree! Glory to God! You're asking me to do something. He says the kingdom of heaven is like yeast. kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into her, it mixed about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. The kingdom of heaven is like yeast that a woman took and mixed into about 60 pounds of flour until it worked through the dough. Kingdom seed is like yeast in that it affects everything that it enters. Let me say that one more time. Kingdom seed is like yeast in that it affects everything that it enters. If you do not want your bread to rise, ladies, do not put yeast into the flour. You see, there's a chemical effect. Are you ready? I'm going to give you a little bit of chemistry here. As soon as yeast is mixed with other ingredients, enzymes in the yeast and the flour cause large starch molecules to break down into simple sugars. The yeast metabolizes these simple sugars and exudes a liquid that releases carbon dioxide and ethyl alcohol into existing air bubbles in the dough, and it rises. How many of you have seen that process? Isn't it interesting? You take this much dough with yeast in it, and it expands. You see, there is a chemical effect of the kingdom truths. It has been proven that individuals in trouble, both physically and mentally, who are introduced to kingdom truth and kingdom power, will have a chemical reaction that takes place in the brain, releasing endorphins, dopamine into the brain, and adrenaline and other chemicals into the bloodstream, which have an immediate change in the body. I'm talking about a chemical change in the body of those who receive the truth of the gospel message. It has been proven scientifically. It has an effect upon our lives. So, well, I've never experienced that. You've never let it get into your life. Well, I've been in church for a long time. Means nothing. You can sit in this sanctuary for 30 years and the seed never penetrates the soil of your heart. But I guarantee you, if it gets in, if you will let it in, if you will plant it in your heart, there will be a change, a chemical change in your body. I can prove it. Just do it. Just really let the Word of God get down into your life and you watch and see. There are health issues that some are enduring and struggling through that if you would let the kingdom truths get into that problem that you have, it would be changed. It would be cured. So, well, I know that Jesus can do miracles and I know that He does miracles. Yes, I believe that and I pray that No, I'm talking about kingdom truth. If you would allow the truth. Things like unforgiveness is destructive to you. You carry unforgiveness, and it can cause you physical problems that you will struggle with for a lifetime. But if you will let the gospel message get in when He says forgive because you have been forgiven, you can see back problems and neck problems and head problems and all kinds of things disappear from your life. You see, I want you to understand this morning that the kingdom truth and the truths of the kingdom are powerful. Life-changing. Yeast, by its very nature, changes dough. Kingdom truth, by its very nature, has the same effect upon a life. I've watched this throughout my lifetime as two people come to an altar to give their lives to the Lord Jesus Christ. And one really plants the seed in the soil of their heart. And from the moment they get up from that altar and walk out, they're changed. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. They begin to look at their life in a new light. They begin to look at the things that they're doing in a new light. They begin to look at this Bible in a new light. And it's powerful. It's glorious. Over on this side, I see an individual kneel down and they say the words that somebody tells them to say. And they get up and they walk out unchanged. How's it possible? Maybe both of them said the exact same words. It's because this one here said those words and nested the truth of God's word in their life, that Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, came into this world, lived a sinless life, died a substitutionary death, was buried in a tomb, raised on the third day, ascended into heaven, and if we will believe in Him, we will not perish but have everlasting life, and we can be part of His kingdom. It changes. You know, one of the neatest things for me as a pastor, even in saying it, faces come to my mind of watching the Lord change the very appearance and countenance of an individual. I've seen some ugly people come to the altar, accept Jesus, and be beautiful. Some of you need Jesus. Folks, this is real. This is more real than anything that you know. This is real. And it is life-changing. The kingdom of heaven in our lives is life-changing. Like yeast to dough, the kingdom will change us. Let me take you to number 3 because I don't have much time left. Verse number 34, excuse me. Well, let's see. Am I right? No. 44. The kingdom of heaven is like a treasure hidden in a field. When a man found it, he hid it again. Then in his joy, he went and sold all that he had and bought that field. Wow. The kingdom of heaven is found. The kingdom of heaven is found. It says that not everyone will find it. Some it will be all around them. The truth of the word will be all around them. For a lifetime, it will be all around them, and they will miss it completely. You know how I know that? Because I have a Bible, and I've read about these Pharisees and Sadducees and the teachers of the law. Jesus standing right there in front of them, Son of God, standing right there before them, doing miracles, teaching them the truths of the kingdom of heaven, and they were like, whoo, totally missed it. As a matter of fact, they chased him all over the place to hear him preach again and again and again, and they still missed it. The kingdom of heaven is found. It's found by people who will stop long enough and realize its value and will say, I need that in my life. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. Thank you, Cindy. Amen. The kingdom of heaven is a treasure. Oh, I wish that I was a better speaker. There's not a time that I take the pulpit or have an opportunity to speak that I don't wish that I was more eloquent. Because the truths that I have been given to share are greater than my ability to share them. Kingdom truths? Do you realize this is the wisdom of the ages? Do you realize that what we share without hardly a thought, these are things that men like Abraham and Isaac and Jacob and David and Moses and Elijah and Elijah longed to know and to hear these things. And you and I, they're just pouring over our lives. Treasures. Treasures. When we sit here and read this red print in our Bibles, and it is the word of the Son of God, and it is His word to us, that's a treasure. And so many, they just miss it completely, thinking about other things now, got other things to do. Too much going on in my life to get too serious about this. Living out my life here in this kingdom, in the United States of America, blessed beyond measure. Not realizing that there is a kingdom of heaven where we can have a citizenship and a relationship with the King. Hallelujah. And He wants to speak into our lives about every single thing that we do. He wants to give us wisdom and guidance and direction. Don't have time to read this. I'm trusting that the preacher will read it and share something with me, and I'll half listen to him when he speaks. Get up and forget everything by the time I get out the back door. Am I being too critical? Wake up that person next to you, will you? Look what he says, enjoy. Enjoy. The one who finds it will sell everything in order to possess it. Everything. We read scriptures like Matthew 6:33, seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. And what in the world does that actually mean to us? It couldn't be plainer. I mean, the words right there, we can identify all of them. Many of them are single-syllable words. We can get a handle on them. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and then all the other things will be added to us. In other words, concentrate on the kingdom. Concentrate on the truths of the kingdom. Concentrate on the King of the kingdom. And then everything else will find its place. Too many of us are doing the opposite of that. We're concentrating on everything else, serving everything else to the point that we say, I just don't have time to be concentrating on the kingdom of God. I guarantee you, if I come and find you in a hospital room next to death, in those moments, your attention will be on the kingdom of heaven. But can I tell you this morning, it'll be too late for what really needs to be done, and that is serving in the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven is like a merchant looking for fine pearls. We're looking for the joy. We're looking for the peace. We're looking for our hope. And people are running all over the world, buying all kinds of things, working their brains out, trying to get enough money to buy the things that the kingdom of heaven has promised us for free. Isn't that amazing? If I said to you, okay, what I would like to do, I've just become independently wealthy, and I would just like to sponsor you for the rest of your life. So you don't need to go to work anymore. I'm just going to give you a stipend. It's going to be a healthy stipend from here forever, the rest of your life. No, you know, I'm not even going to be attached to it. We're going to set it up. It's going to be a trust. And out of that trust, they're going to pay you a great sum for the rest of your life. The only stipulation that I have is that you don't work from here on. How many of you would buy into that? Saw some hands just shoot up just like that. Some of you went, I don't want anything you have. No, if this was for real, I think several of you would go, yeah, sign me up. I'll take all that free stuff so I don't have to work ever again. That's pretty cool. And have everything that I want and everything I need. See, that's what people are doing with the kingdom of God. You say, no, I want the kingdom of this world. I'm going to work myself crazy. Let me work night and day, 7 days a week. 365, well, I'll get off on Christmas. 364 days a year. Because I want stuff. I want the stuff of this world. The Lord says, I want to give you everything that you need for free. All you have to do is just turn your attention to me. And seek me first. and then I'll make sure that all the rest is taken care of. You need a job? Let me give you some counsel this morning. You don't even have to come back to the office. This is free. Okay? You need a job? Seek first the kingdom of God. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Begin to seek His face. I'm not saying that you don't go out and seek work, but I'm saying you don't have to worry over it. You don't have to fret over it. Because if you will seek first His kingdom, He will make sure that all the other things are taken care of. That's the promise that He's given to us. The kingdom of heaven is like a net. We'll close with this. Verse 47. Once again, the kingdom of heaven is like a net that was let down into the lake and caught all kinds of fish. When it was full, the fishermen pulled it up onto the shore. When they sat down and collected the good fish in baskets, but threw the bad away, this is how it will be at the end of the age. The angels will come and separate the wicked from the righteous and throw them into the blazing furnace where there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. The reason why I walk in this sanctuary on Saturdays and other times and pray over those that will sit in these seats is because I know that the kingdom of heaven is like a net. It is let down from heaven, and all who will can come and find their way to it. Jesus gives another parable that substantiates this. It's called the parable of the wedding feast. The invited guests were all too busy to come, and so He says to the servants, go out into the highways and byways and compel them to come in. So they went out and they found all who were the poor and the wretched and everyone and invited them to come in. But keep reading in that parable, and it says that the master of the house came and found those who came without wedding garments. They hadn't prepared themselves for the wedding feast. And He said to the servants, cast them out. Folks, we need to understand. In this room here this morning, there are those who have been caught by the net to come into the house of God on this Sunday morning. But the mere fact that you are here in this house does not assure that you will be in the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, unless you are born again, flesh gives birth to flesh, spirit gives birth to spirit. In other words, you were born from your mother's womb, the waters of life. But you need to be born of the Spirit of God. The old pass away. What is that? Your allegiances, your desire for the old is passing away, and all things become new. We need to be kingdom people. I told you of my allegiance to this flag, and it will hold till the day that I die. They didn't draft me. I went in and I signed my name on the line to serve and to salute that flag. But as I told you, when I was 5 years old, I came and knelt at an altar and meant business. And now I'm 67 years old, and I have served in that kingdom. That's not faultless, but pursuing. Pursuing. I recognize that I will not accumulate everything. You know, I was scolded because I signed out of Social Security when I began ministry. I've been scolded along the way. But see, the realization was that I could not have taken a closed church, taken a struggling church, opened another church, and been paying into Social Security. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, and all these things will be added unto you. My hope, and I pray your hope, is set on nothing less than Jesus' blood and righteousness. I dare not trust the sweetest frame, but wholly lean on Jesus' name. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Thank you this morning for standing as I played that song, as we played that song, I'm proud to be an American. But I want to ask this morning, how many of you will stand and proclaim, I am part of the kingdom of God. On Christ, the solid rock, I stand. All other ground is sinking sand. Easy to stand in here, folk. Where we need to stand for the kingdom is out there. Can I get an amen? Amen. We need to be capturing the truths of the Word of God. You say, well, I can't keep them in my mind. Then get yourself a pencil and paper. But make sure that every time that the truth of the Word is poured over your life, that you capture some of the seed with the intention of giving that seed to someone else. I will sow the seed. You know the reason why I got to raise the flag when I was in sixth grade? Because I was known by all the teachers as preacher. They would even slip up sometimes and call me that. But they knew my life. You see, if you will let your children, those of you that are raising kids in church, if you'll let your children, they will become a special kind of student. In a very practical way, they will learn how to talk to adults. I can remember very little about my grade school years. I couldn't tell you a single teacher's name or anything about it, but I remember events where I stood and prayed at the desk of a school teacher because they had a need in their life. Because see, I wasn't just a kingdom of the United States dweller, I was a kingdom of heaven person. Now, I'm not saying anything to you that you could not do. There's nothing special about me. I just believe what I'm preaching. When I went into junior high, every single morning, I had a prayer meeting. It started off for students, but I ended up with as many teachers as I did students. And they're among the students sharing the prayer needs that they had, the physical needs and the emotional needs and everything else. Sometimes I'm standing there wide-eyed thinking, this teacher just said that. Because they became vulnerable to the truth of the kingdom of God. I'm telling you, you can have an effect. Produce fruit from your Christian belief. Let the seeds of the kingdom of God be planted in your life and produce some fruit. Amen?